Road at the Willow Apartments in San Antonio, Texas at 10 o'clock on a Sunday evening, I read this. Let me read it to you. Now remember, I know what I believe, but I really don't know who I am. And I read this. This wonderful brother that had this, he said, "Charlie, I've underlined the parts that I want you to read. If he hadn't said that to me, I'd have never read it." And what I would like for you to do is open up your little book. We've given you a little book here. It's called The Decree on the Apostate of Lay People. And what I did, I got permission from the publisher of this book to take the document of the laity out and print it in a little book form. And we also got permission to write the scriptures in to where the bishops are making reference to scriptures. And I can tell every one of you here that this is the most important book in your life. I can tell you that right up front. It's the first time in the history of our church since the Lord Jesus was on this earth that the Holy Spirit has spoken through the magisterium, and they have absolutely, perfectly laid out our lives for us and what we're supposed to do. This is the operational handbook. This is the manual on Scripture, on my life, on my spirituality, on the community that we have here in this parish. Nobody's looking at it. I want you to open that little book to page 6. And I want you to look at paragraph 3. And it says this, "From the fact of their union with Christ the head flows the layman's right and duty to be apostles." Folks, I did not know, or had I ever considered that I was an authentic apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was all I needed. Folks, that established me in who I am. I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to this. "Inserted as I am into this mystical body of Christ by baptism, strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, it is the Lord Himself." It is Almighty God Himself. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It is the Holy Spirit Himself that has assigned Charlie Osborne to this apostolate. Folks, God is the one that picked me. And if He picked me, He picked you. We are apostles of Jesus. We've been baptized and confirmed apostles. Amen? Well, that's all I needed to know. I said, wow! Here I have worked all of my life to be something, and I was something when I was born, and they forgot to tell me that I was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. They forgot to tell me that I was a king. Listen to this. If they are consecrated, if Charlie Osborne is consecrated, a kingly priesthood and a holy nation, it is in order that he may, in all of his action, offer spiritual sacrifice and bear witness to Christ the world over. Glory to God. I mean, shut my mouth. Now listen to this. This will really help you if you can listen to it. If you are an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a baptized priest, ladies, listen. Quit struggling for it. You already are. Start acting like one. And listen to this. You are a king. Please don't have a problem with being a king. If I can be the bride of Christ, which is feminine, you ladies should not have no problem being a king. Amen? We're kings. Now, if that's true, and being a nothing, folks, I latched onto that. I grabbed onto that as hard as I've ever grabbed onto anything in my life because it made me somebody. And I didn't have to work for it. It was a free gift. Y'all understand that? I did not have to labor one minute for it. God was telling me, "Charlie, I present to you
I choose you. I have anointed you. I have called you. I have ordained you. I have commissioned you.
Y'all know what I did when I got a hold of this? I got in my airplane and I flew back to Pensacola and I raced into my, didn't even knock. And I took this big old book and I slammed it down on his desk. I said, Bishop, have you ever read this? And he looked at it and he said, Charlie, I helped write that. I said, you what? He said, I was on the committee that put this together. I said, you're kidding. Oh, he said, no, I helped. I said, why in the world ain't you out telling people about this? He said, oh, now I know what a Catholic evangelist is. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to go into the world and tell them who they are. And you know, folks, that's what Jesus came to do. He was an evangelist. He came to tell us who we are. You are my people. Once you were nobody, but now you are somebody. You are a royal priesthood. You belong to a holy nation, a nation set apart by God, a nation that establishes the kingdom of God on this earth. You are my apostles. You are my people. You are my living bread and living life. You are the breath and the heart of God. You are the very source of energy on this earth that is the light of the world. You are the salt. You understand? Folks, that made me somebody. General Motors never made me nobody. They tried. If you drive a GM product, you'll be somebody. If you wear Levi's, you'll be somebody. If you wear them Reeboks, you will be somebody. Folks, that don't make you nothing. God has made us something, and we must accept who we are. Every one of you in here is a unique, wonderful, glorious masterpiece built in the likeness and the image of God, and nobody can do your apostolate. Folks, quit trying to do other people's work and begin to do your own. Quit looking around in other people's heart and finding fault with them. Begin to find the problems in your own life, and you begin to straighten out the problems as the Holy Ghost reveals them, and take on your life as who you really are, and go into the world preaching the good news of God. Stop trying to get somebody else to do your work. Just stop it. Everybody can find fault with me. Y'all quit finding fault with me. I'm doing all I can do. Well, you ought to do this, Charlie. I can't do that. You know what people do to me? They'll come running up to me and they said, God spoke to me last night in Scripture, and I'm to give you this Scripture. I said, ain't no way. If he spoke to you in Scripture, it's for you to do. I've got enough of my own Scriptures to live. Now you go live the Scripture God gave it to you. He didn't say it to me. You know they get all mad at me? Oh, he won't listen to nothing I say. Folks, I've got all I can do. You understand? All I'm trying to do is get other people involved. And if you get involved, you'll be so busy, you won't have time to look at me. You understand? You won't have time to look at your husband. You won't even have time to look at your children. And they'll be so busy looking at you, they'll wonder, what happened? My Lord, what happened to the old man? The guy's gone crazy. He's out preaching everywhere. I mean, my Lord, what's going on here? The guy thinks he's an apostle. I said, yeah, I am. You know what? Right away when I found this, you know the very first thing that someone said to me after I read this to a group, and I said, 2,500 bishops sent me. And they sent me to tell you that you're all apostles. that you're prophet, that you're king. You can't get any greater than that. Stop struggling in this life, in this society, to be greater than you are. You cannot be any greater than an apostle. I would have to be demoted today to be president of the United States, folks. We've got the highest calling, and we're sitting here going, well, I don't know. You know, I'm not really nothing, and I'm not educated, you know, and I really can't do anything because, you know, I'm just an old worm, you know. That's not so. Well, you know, I've got so much going on, I just can't get off into that. Everything that you got going on is temporary, and if you ain't doing this, what you're doing ain't going to last. You better get into something that's forever. Amen. We are apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us. We didn't choose Him. You know God picked me, I didn't pick Him. Do you know it says that He loved me first? Could we ever begin to love the way He's loved? And I keep telling myself that, Charlie, can you ever love the way He's loved? I said, I'm trying. He said, you're lying. Well, I want to. Lord, teach me. And He sends a lot of people my way to teach me. Most of you are praying those people out of your life. Oh, God, change my husband. I can't take him another day. And he's the very source of irritation that you need to learn to practice your faith on. If you didn't have him, you couldn't practice your faith. And you'll go get rid of him and get another one worse than he is. But God, are they all this bad? He said, I'm trying to teach you a lesson. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that treat you badly. I don't want to do that, Lord. But I will. I don't want to do that. I don't get no fun out of that. It don't make me feel good, Lord. But I'll do it. And you know, then people start coming to you and listen. You know the amazing thing about this group right here? There's not a one of you, I hope, that came here out of fear. You've come here because of curiosity, desire, maybe searching. You've come here looking to receive. Amen. Folks, I know folks from a crowd like this gathered. You see, you're not coming because I'm threatening you that you're going to hell if you don't listen to me. So you're coming out of fear. You know the people that come out of fear never hear nothing? Anything that you're doing that you're fearful of, you hate it? You know that, don't you? You know fear can only produce hatred. You know that. It produces apathy. And we're almost afraid of everything. We're afraid of our husbands. We're afraid of our wives. I have a little fear of my wife. Y'all know that? We're afraid. We have fear of one another. And because of this fear, we have a tendency to pull ourselves off into little shells where they can't touch us. And it's only when you're being touched that you can be like Jesus. It's only when you're being messed with that you can act like Him. It's only when you're being persecuted. It's only when you're being scandalized. Folks, Jesus said if you follow Him, the world will hate you. You know what hate is? They won't care for you. You know that, you know a lot of people don't care for me? Y'all know that, don't you? They do. You ought to see some of the mail I get. They say, who do you think you are? And I'll write them back and tell them, I'm a unique, one-of-a-kind, an original masterpiece, son of the Most High God, an apostle, baptized and confirmed into the power of the Holy Spirit, king and a priest, glory be to God, preaching the uncompromised words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and doing everything I can to live it. That's what I am. And you know, people get upset at that, and they say, boy, he's a big old bragger.
But I ain't bragging on me. I'm bragging on what God has done for me. Folks, I didn't do any of this. This is a gift that has come from God. I just got to the point one day that I became so desperate that I began to unwrap it, and I discovered out of a long search, I discovered that from the fact of my union with Christ ahead, the 2,500 of bishops that gathered in Rome said, "Charlie, you are an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, it stirred my soul. It stirred my heart. It still stirs me today. Amen. Listen to this. On all Christians, accordingly, rests the noble obligation of working to bring all men throughout the whole world to hear and accept the divine message of salvation. You know that's what your job is? And I'm going to say something here, and I hope it doesn't make anybody mad. When God created man and woman, He created two men, He put a womb in one of them. A woman! Folks, there's not a lot of difference between a man and a woman. In fact, today when you're walking down the street, there's a lot of men that look like women. You can't tell them apart till you get real close. Amen. Don't be hung up on this gender thing, folks. You don't have to make yourself a reputation. That's what's wrong in our church today. A lot of our people are trying to gain a position of authority so they can voice and express and boom and bang around and be in control and in charge. Folks, they'll never make it. I can tell you right up front, them kind of people, they disappear. Amen. We're going through that right now in our church. In fact, the new catechism is out, and it's being held up because there's a few people that don't like the way it's written. Big smoking deal. Gotta be my way or the highway. No, it's going to be His way. Amen. We all should enjoy it. Don't fight nothing, folks. Jesus didn't fight anything. He had no reputation. He didn't have a reputation as a fighter. He had a reputation as a lover. And it killed Him. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit sanctifies the people of God through the ministry and the sacraments. However, for the exercise of the apostolate, for me to exercise my apostolate, God gives the faithful special gifts, special gifts, special gifts, special charisms, special tools, power tools, anointed tools, grace tools, tools that we use to build the body. Special gifts, and they list them in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, and they are the gifts of wisdom. Folks, when the Holy Spirit reigns in your heart and you know that you're an apostle and you're living the words that He said, you are full of wisdom, preaching with wisdom, knowledge, healing, prophecy, discerning of spirit, faith, miracles, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These are the charisms, the apostolic activities. These are the power tools. But if they're not governed with love, they have no effect. They become very destructive. If they're not obedient and submit to the authority, they become very disruptive. And our bishop says that he allots them to each one as he wills, so that each and all, putting at the service of others the grace received, everything from God is grace. It's unmerited favor. We've never done anything to deserve it, and we shouldn't charge for it. Putting them to the service of others, the grace received may be as good stewards to God's very gifts. The bishops are telling me that I'm to be a good steward over preaching with wisdom. I'm to be a good steward over healing. I'm to be a good steward over miracles. I'm to be a good steward over these charisms, the apostolic activities that builds the body. You understand? I'm to be a good steward. Doesn't say anything about being a good steward over the things of the world. We love to stewardship cars and houses, those things that don't last, those things that don't do anything. We love to say, God put me in stewardship over money. No, He hasn't. He's put you in a stewardship to be a good preacher. He said, if you love money, you'll hate God, and if you love God, you'll hate money. You, folks, you can't stewardship money and God. Amen? You just can't. For the building up of the whole body in love, from the reception of these charisms, even the most ordinary ones, there arises for each of the faithful the right and duty of exercising them in the church and in the world for the good of man and the development of the church. Folks, you and I use these charisms to develop the church. We use them in the world to bring the world into the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We use them wherever we are, in the marketplace. Amen. How many of you in here pray in tongues? Raise your hand. Okay, look, put them down. How many do not pray in tongues? Let me go that way with it. Raise them up high. Well, we got about 50%. How many that do not would, if you understood what they were and you knew how to use them, how many of you would like to pray in tongues that don't pray in? Raise your hands, those that would like to that don't. Okay. Tomorrow I'm going to teach on tongues. It's a real simple gift, folks, and everybody needs it. Everybody needs to know that. Everybody needs the gift of praying in tongues. Most people say it's the least of the gifts. I say it's the most important because it really humbles you. You'll have to drop your pride to get into it. You'll have to drop your identity. You'll have to humble yourself. Amen. And I'll close with this. Folks, this is so rich. This little book you've got here, turn to page 34. The council then makes to all the laity an earnest appeal in the Lord to give a willing, noble, and enthusiastic response to the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk this week about the voice of Jesus Christ, the will of God. I've had people come at me and said, oh, I do. If I knew the will of God for my life, I would do it. When you leave here Friday, you will never, ever, 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 ever have to ask anybody again what the will of God is. You'll know what His will is for your life. Now, whether you'll do it or not, whether you do it or not, will be entirely up to you. I'll go ahead and give it to you right now. Love your enemies. That's His will. Do good to those that hate you. That's His will. That's His demand. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that treat you badly. When you're slapped on one cheek, present the other cheek. That's His will. Give to anyone that asks. That's the will of God. The price has been paid so that you can respond to these words. When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. That's the will of God. Treat others. Listen to this. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. That's the voice of Christ. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, the Great Charter, the Magna Carta, the Constitution of the Kingdom, the demands that establishes the Kingdom of God within you. And folks, let me say this. When you begin to live the words that He spoke, the revelation of Eucharist will become real to you. We constantly try to describe the greatest mystery to me, there's two tremendous mysteries. It's the Holy Spirit placing Jesus into the womb of a virgin. That is a tremendous mystery. And the next mystery is the Eucharist. And we spend all of our time trying to explain these great mysteries. And I will tell you that if you will enter into the reality of the will of God, the voice of Christ, these mysteries will begin to clear up. You won't have to explain it. You'll know it. In fact, you won't be able to explain it. You live the Word, You'll understand from within you the mystery. You will have revelation, but you can't explain the mystery. Just can't. People that talk about the mystery, they don't know what they're talking about. And I say that to anybody. I don't care who they are. They don't know what they're... When they stand up and start talking about things that are mysteries, they have no idea. All they're doing is talking about what somebody else has said, and somebody else didn't know what they were saying. If you start living the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mystery will become a reality to you. You'll know that you know that you know. Amen? Listen to this. Respond to the voice of Christ, who at this hour is summoning them more pressingly into the urging of the Holy Spirit. The younger generation should feel themselves to be the younger generation should feel this call to be addressed in a special way to themselves. They should welcome it eagerly and generously. You know, that's what our Pope is doing. He's talking to the youth. He's given up on us. I'm convinced of it. He's given up on us. He's had encyclical after encyclical, letter after letter, and we just won't even look at them. And we're still going along doing the same old stuff. Well, you know, maybe the Pope would come over here and live over here. This is a new society over here. We're civilized over here, folks. I think we have reduced civilization right down to the lowest common denominator. We don't know what civilization is. This is not civilized. When you murder 35 million babies in 20 years, that is not civilization. When your whole society explodes with AIDS because of absolute disrespect for one another and they're trying to satisfy the desires of the flesh, that is not civilization. It is the Lord Himself by this council who is once more inviting all the laity to unite themselves to Him even more intimately, to consider His interest as your own. To consider Him. To consider His interest. And I tell every one of you, if you'll consider His interest, love your enemy, that's His interest. Turn the other cheek, that's His interest. Do good to those that hate you. Give. Suffer without a desire to retaliate. That's His interest. And then it says, they quote a scripture. You can underline this, draw a circle around it. Try to get it into your heart. Your attitude. Attitude. Your attitude must be that of Christ. Let's get even. Flip them three fingers. Amen. Lord Jesus, help us in this unique time, this hour of need, in this hour to understand. Help us, God, to understand that our attitude, O God, must be that of yours.